Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
I want to say Merry Christmas Eve to everybody who is here. We're going to talk Greenland in a minute. I don't know what our callers have in mind, but I'm probably going to have to ask those waiting on the line right now what they would name Greenland to if we do, in fact, wind up acquiring Greenland as a U.S. territory. Fourth and final hour underway right now. Let's go to we got Joe in South Philly. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
We're doing good. How are you?
Good spot. Good, good. Boy, I'll tell you what, you know a lot about everything.
Okay. Well, listen, I at least I try. What's on your mind, my friend?
I just wanted to say that when you talk about the Democrats, our city, we're in South Philly, I'm in Philly, has been Democrat for 100 years. And, yeah. And we put the worst people in for mayors. We just keep putting the same people in for mayors, and our city's a mess. Our city's a disgrace.
Well, Joe, let me ask you this, right? So what is the definition of insanity, right? It's
repeating, there you go.
Right? Repeating the same behaviors and expecting different results. And unfortunately, we're seeing the same thing happen in places like New York City. And believe it or not, you know, I'm in Tennessee, and my wife and I lived in Nashville last year. And Nashville, believe it or not, has had a Democrat mayor since the end of the Civil War. New York City has had more Republican mayors than Nashville, Tennessee. You have to ask yourself, what do these people see in these Democrats that they keep reelecting them? What do you think it is? You're in South Philly. What's in the water there? What's in the air there? Why do people keep reelecting Democrats?
Well, because they're lazy. People just go into the booth. They don't know who they're voting for. The only one they know is maybe the top person. They hit the button and it's all Democrats. They don't care what judge is crazy or whatever. They walk in. They say, oh, I'm not going to go vote for this. I don't know this guy. Boom. They hit the lever for Democrat, and that's it. They go home.
And that's a shame. You know, we need more awareness out there, more people like Scott Pressler out there who can get people involved and informed about the process. One more question for you, Joe. I got a question. Yes. What if the United States takes over Greenland, what do we call it?
Oh, wow. I don't know. I really don't know.
That's okay. We got a list of names, and we'll have a good time. Well, Joe, I hope you have a Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate the support, and thanks for listening. Joe in South Philly. We love it. You know, he brings up a good point. People are just lazy, and they hear, you know, a nice promise from a politician. Surely I wouldn't be lied to by a politician. They just go in and are conditioned to voting Democrat. You saw this a lot with, I mentioned earlier this morning about minority communities, how Democrats just treat them as if they're guaranteed votes for Democrats. And it's a terrible way to approach a group of people. Just because somebody's black or Hispanic or Jewish, they're expected to vote Democrat. Well, October 7th woke up a lot of people. Inflation woke up a lot of people. And I got to see if I could find this recording from way back. It was, I think, one day before Joe Biden's inauguration. And I said, the silver lining of this is going to be the biggest wake-up call in American history. And it's one that our country so badly needs. We got Tom in Limerick, Pennsylvania. Tom, what's going on?
Sean, it's a pleasure to speak to you. Merry Christmas, my friend.
Tom, Merry Christmas to you, hey, too, listen, and it's a pleasure to speak to you as well. What's up?
So, listen, I want to talk about the Biden situation with him, you know, letting the prisoners stay in there for life. I actually agree with him. I don't think it's okay for the government to choose who lives and who dies. I am a pro-life person, and even though somebody else took a life, I don't believe two wrongs make a right. I tell that to my children all the time. So, unfortunately, I have to side with Biden on this one. I don't think it's okay for the government to kill other people.
Okay, and listen, I actually can look at that, and I could say I don't disagree with the premise of your argument. I really don't. right? I don't disagree with the stance that you're taking that the government should not choose who lives and who dies. I do think there are exceptions. Me personally, I think there are exceptions. You look at the case, you go case by case. You know, not everybody who's convicted of murder gets the death penalty. I happen to think that Laken Riley's murderer should be put to death. But that's just me. But I agree with you on the standpoint that, hey, if you're pro-life, then you shouldn't like the death penalty. It's an interesting moral. It's an interesting moral argument. And it's one that's very tough to grapple with.
And I think we've all should have learned a lesson that our justice system is not 100%, you know, foolproof. And look at what happened to Donald Trump. He was found guilty by a jury of his peers. And obviously that was a sham trial. I'm not saying that these people are not, you know, guilty or that they're innocent, but we can't say that 100% of the time that they are guilty. And I feel like I think that we need prison reform. I think these people need to earn their living so they're not living off of our tax dollars. They should have to work to eat. But there's a lot of things that we need to do inside of prison. But I don't think it's OK to kill another human being at all.
But you also you bring up a really good point on that as well, in that if the system is not perfect, then there should not be an outcome that ends the person's life because of those imperfections. I mean, I can't sit here and say that you're wrong. There's just something inside of me that says a person like Jose Ibarra, who raped and killed a girl, he just doesn't, in my opinion, I think he loses that right.
I get it.
But, you know,
I get
you
it.
Know, maybe that's where I am. And it is tough because I'm pro-life too. And it's very tough to grapple with that. It's like, well, I'm pro-life, but there shouldn't be a but, right? That's the argument. So
there shouldn't be a but. There shouldn't be a but. I think you need to rethink it and understand. Listen, I say this to my daughter because she was saying, okay, well, what if somebody punches me in the face? Do I have the right to punch them back? And I said, well, yeah, if they're squaring up to you and they continue to try to hurt you, you absolutely have the right to punch that person back. However, if they punch you in the face and they run away and then they're captured by the police, then no, you can't run up to them and punch them in the face. In this case, they're all captured and they're out of the system. They're out of society. They're no longer hurting anybody except maybe people in jail. And again, that's part of prison reform. But at this point, we can't take revenge because then we're no better than them.
You know what? These are very valid points. I can't disagree with you on the substance. I mean, and it's something that's, again, it's very tough to grapple with because if you're pro-life, you're pro-life. This is why I'm anti-war. I don't like seeing people die, right? So it's like if you're that's why I see a lot of these guys, you know, these war hawks that are like, oh, I don't like abortion, but they're ready to go to war with all these countries. And I go, well what about the loss of life there, right? I mean, but then you're talking about killing innocents and things like that. And killing the guilty to me has a little bit of a different. But maybe not. I mean, it's a very tough subject to grapple with. It's certainly worth the conversation. And I think you raised some very good points. And I, you know what? I'll tell you what. You may not be a Biden fan, but the fact that you can come on and say, hey, I actually agree with him because this is what I think. That is something that a leftist generally can't do about Donald Trump. And that is to be commended.
I 100% agree, and I appreciate you hearing me out and at least, you know, validating my point, and maybe it'll give you something to think about. And I've got some names for Denmark, too.
Greenland. Yeah, go for it.
Greenland. That's what I meant. I'm sorry, Greenland. We could do Isisippi.
Okay.
Or Chillinoy.
Chillinoy last night. I saw Snohio, and you're saying Isisippi.
Yeah.
I like that. That's fine.
Alaska 2.0. That could work, too.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for your input, Tom. You have a Merry Christmas, and thank you so much for supporting 1210. We appreciate you. Tom from Limerick, Pennsylvania.
And we have a lot of callers that want to respond to him as well.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. So we have a whole conversation. Who do we have on the line next?
From South Philly, it's Frank. Hey, Frank, how are you?
Good. Good morning, and Merry Christmas to you and everybody else that's working there and the other late crew that's coming on. And I like to also say Merry Christmas to all the veterans because I'm a veteran and we do a lot for the veterans down here in South Philly.
Thank you for your service, my friend.
Thank you. I'd like to rebut that the gentleman that was just on there, or anybody else that thinks that President Biden is doing the right thing, or he says he's doing the right thing, to turn around and pardon all these people, 1,500 people and plus. How do you turn around and not give the death penalty when a five-month-old baby gets his head chopped off? How do you not give where he didn't have a life to turn around? He didn't have a life to even walk. Or a 67-year-old guy that gets killed. Or a person that turns around and kills 9 people. Or a person that blows up a building and kills 2,300 people. Or a person that kills school kids down in Florida, 17 people. And he gets life. And the victims of those people that died, or the family, they suffered through all that. It's not the government's fault. It's the person that does the actual crime. They chose to kill somebody. They turn around and, like the one now that just killed the girls, 12-year-old girls, a 12-year-old girl getting killed, or a 7-year-old girl that gets killed, didn't have life to walk. That's what they call in Italy a senseless crime. Senseless crime.
Frank, again, this is why this is a fascinating discussion, right? Because Tom came at it from a straight, and again, I see both points of view here, and I am, as I stand right now, I'm on your side of the argument, right? In that, I think in certain cases the death penalty is warranted. Like I said, Lakin Riley's murderer, she's 22 years old. He raped her, he tortured her for 18 minutes, and then he killed her. I mean, that to me is somebody who I don't think deserves the right to live anymore. And then Tom's point is, well, the government shouldn't choose who lives and who dies, right? But your point is, but this person chose to throw that right away, so they don't have the right to life anymore. I mean, this is to me a fascinating argument, and I see where both points of view and both stances are coming from. And I agree. I am, as I stand right now, pro capital punishment, not abusing it. But in these circumstances where a 5-month-old baby gets a head chopped off, or a Lakin Riley is raped, or a Jocelyn Nungare is raped and killed, I'm at the point where I'm like, you know, if you did that, you've thrown your right to life away, in my opinion.
And I'm not talking about what's been called self-defense type of, right. You know, if it's a self-defense or an accidental death. I'm talking about, you're dealing with people from Venezuela and other countries that don't have, that turn around and chop heads off, and they're brutal. You know, they're just brutal killers. So how do you turn around and keep a mayor for 40 years? And let's not even talk about the money wise that it costs the taxpayer, $75,000 to $150,000 to turn around and keep a prisoner in there. These are brutal killers. They're destroying our country. They're killing people, especially the one that set the girl on fire yesterday in New York.
Yep.
I wish I was a judge for that person that set the girl on fire, or some of these stolen killers.
Yeah, I mean, these people are the worst among us, and you know, the argument exists, and I, you know, that they should be treated accordingly. Someone lights someone on fire on the subway, it's very tough to have any sort of sympathy towards that person. But you have the argument. It does exist in Tom's defense of principles. Right. And so I respect Rand Paul, and I always agree with him. I respect someone who stands on their principles. And I think both of you bring a great argument to the table. And as I said, Frank, I'm on your side with this. I think that there are cases that it is justified, and maybe that means I have to rethink my position and how I describe myself. It is what it is. But thanks for the call, Frank, and you have a Merry Christmas. OK, and thank you for your service.
And he's dropped. Let's go to Matthew in Morrisville. Oops, nope. That's
Matthew in Morrisville. What's up, Matthew?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Sean.
Good morning, Mr. Matthew. How are you?
Okay. I just really wanted to call you and tell you how happy I am that I discovered all your wonderful work.
Oh, you're too kind.
Well, I mean, I usually don't listen to 12:10 in the mornings when there's guests because I don't know. I just don't. And I just listened to you one day, and you were fabulous. A little angry, but very, very, very fun.
Oh, yeah, I do tend to get angry. But you see, you know, I've been a Jet fan for all years of my life. So that's where a lot of the anger comes from, I'll be honest.
Oh, God bless you. I know nothing about sports. I'm a Colombo fan.
Okay.
I love Colombo. But I wanted to wish you a very blessed Merry Christmas, you and your wife. I love your podcast. I love your shows. You're just fabulous, and I just don't want you to ever take yourself for granted because I'm very, very, very grateful for you. It's a very rough time of the year. You know, since my mother passed, I don't like Christmas very much, and you just bring a great deal of – it's almost like a friendship, so thank you.
Well, Matthew, thank you so much, and I hope you do have a very Merry Christmas. I hope you have a great holiday, and, you know, I really appreciate hearing that from you. You're very kind, and I am so appreciative of your support and the support of the entire 1210 family. You guys have welcomed me in, and it's amazing. What's that? Was that Jim?
That was a very nice call, by the way. Someone called in, and, you know, they're – it's just the great thing about WPHT is being able to reach out to people we've never reached out to before since we've been live and local in this past year. You know, people are actually able to call in and talk to hosts on the station, which is great.
Yeah. When I went to school for radio, I was thinking, you know, sports talk and all this, because that was the last type of radio, in my opinion, that was really cozy. You know, you sit down, you listen to, I grew up listening to WFAN.
Right.
And you have, you know, there's this cozy feeling. You know, there's a guy on the other side of the microphone. He roots for the same teams you do. He goes to the games, does all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And you can talk to them about it. And it's someone from your area.
Mm-hmm.
and that's how it feels with 1210. It's because, you know, Nick, another, the sports, we talk sports all the time. It's like, It's that feel. We're talking politics. We're having discussions. You know, we got this. It was just very nice. And Matthew, that was a beautiful call. And we hope he has a great holiday. Really,
and that's
do.
The great thing now, because before, and look, I don't have any ill will towards these syndicated talk shows. You know, everybody works very hard to get to where they are. But there's something about being live and local where people are actually able to call in and they can be talked to and not talked at. And that's the great thing, because I remember at one point, I mean, you had like almost 9 hours of just people that were just not connected to Philly or any other city in that matter. And, you know, I know it sadly took the death of Rush Limbaugh for people to realize that it's time to be local. It's time to reach out to the community. And I think 12.
That's how we save our country, by the way. You start locally. You know, you're the folks that are running your school board and your fire marshals and your county legislatures and your state governments. They have a much bigger impact than Donald Trump. So,
and it's all like with the school boards. I mean, you bring up a great point about the school boards. Most of those callers could never get on before because you weren't able to do it. It was all too national. And again, you know, I mean, I don't want to, you know, condemn anybody who's syndicated. More power to them. And God bless you. But I think in the last 2 years, 1210 has really done a great job of reaching out to this community. And I guarantee you 2025 is going to be no different.
Oh, I can't wait. You know, and I'll tell you what, the 1210 family, the showing that we had for that mock debate and the support that, you know, I mean, who the heck was I coming on? I was doing bits with Nick and everybody a year ago, and it's, you know, been accepted into this family. It's just been amazing. It really has been. It's been a blessing.
By the way, you do a pretty good Biden, by the way.
Yeah, you know, I've been trying over the years. I can't sit and watch him for too long.
No.
That's why I'm good at Trump, because I watch him. I like him. I don't want to. Biden, he just annoys me. But but hey, good names from Greenland, by the way, from Tom, Mississippi. I like that. I'm going to go through the list of names in the next segment. But for anybody else who wants to get involved, wants to give us a call, you know the number. We had a bunch of calls there. It's 855-839-1210. We're wrapping up. Well, we're getting close to wrapping up hour four. This morning has gone very quickly. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. We're at 1210 WPHD, Kale and Company. Appreciate hearing from everybody. If you want to jump in and be a part of it, give me your names for Greenland. I'm going to go through some of my favorites when we come back after this. You're listening to Kale and Company. Sean Farish, guest hosting until 10 a.m. on 1210 WPHD.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free audio. Odyssey app.
Some of my some of the top names, and I'm not just saying this because we're married, but my wife came up with the best name. Nobody has come up with this yet. Nobody's thinking outside the box yet. And so now I'm going to have to make a video about what we're going to rename Greenland to. But I'm not going to tell you what it is now because I don't want anyone else taking credit for the idea. Anyway, the top names in no particular order. We had Senator Mike Lee commenting on this post I made on X yesterday, citing Senator Eric Schmidt. Magadonia seems to be some of the folks' favorite new name for Greenland. Of course, Magaland, Trumpland, Orange Land instead of Greenland. Donnyville, that's a good one. East Alaska, I think it was Tom in Limerick who said Alaska 2.0. Donaldtopia, New Greenland, because, you know, we love to just say it's a place, but we'll put new next to it, like New York and New Mexico. Huge Land, Snowhio, Chillinoy. And one of my personal things, not Hawaii for new names for Greenland. Well, let's go to Ben. Ben's on the line. What's up, Ben?
Hey, Sean, first, Merry Christmas. And second, you are like the Gutfeld of talk radio. I love the way you combine humor with serious political topics. We love it.
Well, thank you, Ben. Appreciate it. Always trying to do what we can, right? Always trying to have some fun. This is always fun for me. I love radio. It's been something I wanted to do for a long time, so I'm glad you're enjoying it. What's on your mind?
Well, I had an alternate solution for the, instead of the death penalty, how about all those death row inmates be used for medical experimentation and clinical trials to pay their debt to society? Instead of using dogs, cats, and monkeys, let's use a real human, and they can pay their debt to society that way.
Well, I mean, that is certainly a solution that I did not see coming. I think the forced...
If you think about it, the left thinks it's okay to chemically and surgically mutilate little kids for gender bending, so why not use these adult inmates for medical experimentation?
Well, I mean, you know, you bring a good point by trying to use the left standards. I think maybe when we take over Greenland, one of my favorite names is I came up with American Siberia. Maybe we can exile some of these inmates there and do forced labor. I don't know.
I like it. It'll be Gitmo North.
That's right. Like Gitmo it. North, American Siberia, or Chillinoy. Ben, thank you so much for your call. Have a Merry Christmas. That's Ben. He's a great guy. The community here is alive on Christmas Eve. It's amazing. No shortage of calls, no shortage of input. Donald Trump mentioned to a crowd in Phoenix, Arizona for Turning Points America Fest. I attended that convention a couple of years ago in the winter of 2021. It's a really good convention. Turning Point does a great job. But he mentioned to the room there, the crowd there, that he wanted to take Greenland and not just take the Panama Canal. And of course, you know that he's been trolling Queen Justine Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, or as he calls him, the governor, right? Queen Justine. And you know what happens with Queen Justine? Just like Lindsey Graham and Mitt Romney, who I happen to call Sit Romney, right? Because he sits when he pees. You look at Queen Justine Trudeau, and he's a horrible person. And he's going to be the governor of the great state of Canada. We love that. You know, he's driving these Canadians crazy. We're our own country. Are you, though? We have him talking to the crowd over in Phoenix, Arizona, Turning Point USA's America Fest, AmFest, on Sunday about Mount McKinley, or what used to be Mount McKinley, which is now Mount Denali. You know, he brings up a good point about how the left likes to erase history. And that's exactly what they did with McKinley. Why don't we go to this Trump talking about his plans for Mount McKinley? Let's go to that clip.
So to the officials of Panama, please be guided accordingly. William McKinley, the 25th president of the United States, was, because of the vast sums of money that he brought into our country, the person really who got us the money that President Theodore Roosevelt used to build the Panama Canal and a lot of other things. McKinley was a very good, maybe a great president. They took his name off Mount McKinley, right? That's what they do to people.
No, he was a
great president, very good president at a minimum. He was a very good businessman. He was a businessman, then a governor, very successful businessman, and then he ran for president, and he won. And he was able to use business principles, and he was a strong believer in tariffs. And we were actually probably wealthiest of any time, relatively speaking, at any point in the history of our country. In the 1890s, we were so wealthy. We had commissions set up what to do with all the money that we were taking in. We had no income tax. We only had tariffs. I consider that to be the most beautiful word in the dictionary. But President McKinley was the president that was responsible for creating a vast sum of money in the United States that Teddy Roosevelt then spent. So let's say they were both excellent presidents, but McKinley did that, and that's one of the reasons that we're going to bring back the name of Mount McKinley, because I think he deserves it.
And there's Donald Trump talking about President McKinley. And, you know, for a lot of people don't realize, and I didn't realize this either, when Donald Trump first announced that he was running for president, came down the golden escalator. You know, I tell this story all the time, and I am not ashamed to tell it again, that when Trump came down the golden escalator and announced that he was running for president, I honestly didn't know much about Donald Trump. I knew what I heard in the media. This was before the media decided they couldn't stand him. I knew that he was somebody who loved attention. He was a media mogul. He was everywhere. He played different personas in WWE. He was, The Apprentice, and you're fired. And he happened to think very highly of himself all the time. He liked to brag. I thought he was doing it for publicity. I thought he was doing it for, to make a mockery of the process. It wasn't until I actually became very interested in the man, Donald Trump, when he was president. I said, I want to learn about this guy. He's a huge, huge student of history. He holds Abraham Lincoln and Winston Churchill in very high regard. And we just found out through that clip that he holds President McKinley in very high regard. And he mentions something in that clip. He mentioned something in that clip about McKinley and the left. He said they took his name off of Mount McKinley. That's what they do to people. That is what the left does to people. They erase you. They erase people. Right? They make it like you never existed. They take you, it's memory holding, right? 1984, we've seen it. That is cancel culture. It's not enough to just get somebody fired from a job. It's not enough to try and disprove them or smear their reputation. You have to make it so. You have to make it almost altering history like that person never existed. And I find it interesting. It's what he said. That's what they do to people. According to the article at the Postmillennial about this story, it fascinates me because it's highlighting a major issue that we're dealing with that we call cancel culture. It was known as Mount McKinley from 1917 to 2015. Trump vowed Sunday at America Fest that the mountain will once again honor America's 25th president, a hugely popular Republican candidate who successfully won the office twice, but was assassinated in 1901. I wonder if that's why Donald Trump feels like he owes it to President McKinley to put his name back on the mountain. Ever since the assassination attempt, a lot of people have said that Donald Trump's kind of changed a little bit. And I would think that would change me too. Surviving a gunshot wound to the head. And to anybody who's like, it wasn't the head, it was the ear. What part of the body is the ear connected to? I know. Justice Brown Jackson, you're not a biologist, so you're not qualified to answer that question. Funny how you're qualified to tell me that the ear isn't a part of the head, though. Or even worse, that he wasn't even shot. Right, Joy Reid? Right. Apparently, Lisa Murkowski's, you know what's in a wad over this. There's only one name worthy of North America's tallest mountain, Denali, the great one. Listen, no offense to anybody, the natives of any land who want to name it what they want to name it. But to the victor goes the spoils, right? If your land has been conquered, the people who conquered the land generally name the things around them. That's just the way it goes. Happens everywhere. We're going to put McKinley's name back on the mountain. The mountain's not going to change. You could call it whatever the hell you want. You know, in New York, before I left, they did this to the Tappan Zee Bridge. It was they called it the Governor Mario Cuomo Bridge. When I used to go upstate to go hunting at my buddy's property up there, the Lung, shout out to him. I would drive up on, you know, across the Tappan Zee, and there was the sign that would say Governor Mario Cuomo. And I was not the only one who did this, but I would stick the middle finger out the window as we would go under that sign. And there were a lot of drivers who would join me in that. You know, it's not the Mario, it's the Tappan Zee. I call it the Tappan Zee still. I don't call it the Cuomo Bridge, I call it the Tappan Zee. You want to call it Denali, call it Denali. But where the country's going to refer to it as Mount McKinley, the tallest mountain in North America. And I don't really care what anyone, I don't know if Murkowski got a problem with it. I think it's a fantastic idea, that woman. What is she up to, by the way, in Alaska? What is she on? There's literally more polar bears in Alaska than there are Democrats, and she's acting like she's in a purple state. Come on. Let's get real here, okay? I would like to go to Alaska one day. I think it kind of looks cool. I'm a fan of cold weather, but I would like to go when it's like dark all year round. And then we can have lightsaber fights in the snow and watch the Northern Lights at like 3 p.m. I think that'd be kind of cool. Hey, I want to also get to this. This story, you know, there were drones. Did you guys hear about this? There were drones over New Jersey recently. We just talked to a bunch of callers talking about the role of government in society and should government choose who lives and who dies, et cetera, right? It's a very worthy talking point, of course, and a conversation that we should be having. But we look at this and I find this really funny. All right. But it's also sad because we saw this coming. I saw this coming and a lot of people saw this coming, that all the hyperventilating over the drones. And I'm not saying you should be OK with everything that flies over your head. And I'm not saying that people didn't see drones. And I'm not saying that the drones that they saw were all hobbies. And I'm not saying that the government is being transparent. I'm not saying that at all. But when fear takes over society, like Gavin Newsom, right? So he's declaring a state of emergency over the bird flu. When fear takes over, what happens, folks? What happens when the fear takes over? What happens? Usually it is exploited. It is manipulated for either personal gains from grifters or the government is going to try and take your rights away. Look at COVID. The government decided they had the power to tell you whose business was essential and non-essential. Andrew Cuomo decided he had the power to declare what was and was not classified as food in the state of New York. Andrew Cuomo had that power. Why? Because he said so. Because it's in the best interest of public safety and public health. So Dawn actually brought this up last week, that the FAA is now essentially suspending the legality of recreational drone flying in New Jersey, in parts of New Jersey. And I posted when this whole drone thing was going on, I was trying to tell people, like, calm down, because if we get too crazy, we start shining things in the sky, we start shooting at things in the sky, we start getting ahead of ourselves and getting scared. And oh my gosh, I feel sick. It must be the drones. It can't be that it's cold season. It's not December. It's definitely the drones. You know, we get to this point and, you know, I look at it and I'm just beside myself because I said, it's going to cause a crackdown. We're going to lose rights. FAA shuts down the drones, the recreational drone flights. And then what happens? Now we find out that Amazon in Arizona, I get it, it's not New Jersey, but I think it's coming. Amazon now is launching their drone delivery service, not testing, launching their full drone delivery service in Arizona. And I want you to answer me this question. Do you think there's anything that companies like Amazon and Walmart, and some of these huge, huge companies like that, that do a lot of outgoing orders, do you think there's anything that they would want more? And ask yourself this too about the government. Do you think there's anything that the government would want more than a complete and total monopoly on the skies for themselves and their friends? I'm not saying that was the purpose of the drones. I'm not saying they intentionally flew things over your houses to get everybody to flip out, to then turn it into a crackdown to monopolize the skies. I'm telling you, we gave them an opening and they're going to take it. You could say, that sounds crazy. You must be wearing your tinfoil hat. I know you've been doing 4 hours of radio. You must be getting tired. I'm telling you. It happens every time we get whipped up into a frenzy when there's hysteria. They come for things. And we go, we're never going to let this happen again. And then the next thing happens. And it happens all over again. The timing is not coincidental. Who knows when those restrictions are going to get lifted in Jersey? Oh, they say they're supposed to get lifted on January 17th, 2025. Until we probably start seeing drones in the first couple of weeks of January again. They go, we're going to extend it. Okay. Listen, I'm not saying there's nothing. But the hysteria over nuclear bombs gone missing and they're spraying stuff out of the drones and they're the size of school buses. All right, if they're the size of school buses, someone's got to have a picture of a flying school bus, right? Nothing. I'm not saying there's nothing in the air. I'm saying the hysteria is causing people to lose their minds. And that's going to be exploited at our expense. And I don't want to be the reason why we keep losing our rights. That's the point with the drones. All right. Stay safe. Don't do anything stupid at the drones in the sky. Don't shine lasers. You could hurt pilots or people on those planes. But, you know, we also got to be smart and think, how is our response going to be weaponized against us by the government? All right, we're going to come back and wrap up the entire show. This Day in Music History, Phil Almquist at 9:50 with a bone to pick, I'm told, from a little birdie. We'll be right back after this on 1210 WPHD, wrapping up the fourth hour here on Kale & Company. Sean Farish, guest hosting. You follow me on X at SHAWN_FARASH. Sean Farish, guest hosting Kale & Company up until 10 o'clock right here on 1210 WPHD. We'll be right back.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
He's got a bone to pick. He's angry. He's a Jet fan. As I am too. He's got a bone to pick. It is This Day in Music History with the great Phil Almquist, my brother in suffering.
What's up, Phil? This Day in Music History.
Today, December 24th, we celebrate the birthday of Neil Turbin, the first full-time vocalist for Anthrax, who's 61. Heavenly birthday shouts to Lemmy from Motorhead, as well as the original drummer for Loudness. We also lost Rick Parfitt from Status Quo on this day in 2016, William Guest from Gladys Knight, the Pips in 2015, and Ray Collins from Mothers of Invention in 2012. Singles include The One to Sing the Blues by Motorhead in 90, as well as Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter by Iron Maiden. Maiden on the same day. Also in 94, Pearl Jam was topped the album chart with Vitalogy. In 88, Nirvana started recording their first album, Bleach. In 77, the Bee Gees were atop the singles chart with How Deep Is Your Love. In 88, Poison was atop the same chart with Every Rose Has Its Thorn. In 71, the New York Dolls made their live debut. And in 72, at a Man for Man show in Miami, police responded to noise complaints by cutting power during the band's encore, leading to a riot. But lastly, since Christmas is tomorrow, Merry Christmas to all of you. You guys completely rock, but the people who think Prince is overrated clearly don't. That is Dan. And yes, a reference to yesterday's show. Clearly, too many people around here have terrible music tastes, and I don't like any of them. By the way, how ironic is this? We're closing out the last Kale and Company with two Jets fans on the air. And hi, Barry. How are you? I'm Phil Lundquist.
Yes, sir, and I'm not a Jets fan.
I know you're not,
you
but that's, but me and Sean are, so.
Yes, but we're a little disappointed what happened on Sunday in Philly.
Yes,
I can tell you. That was a winnable game, and I'm not even going to talk about that because we have brighter things ahead. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great.
What are you
Sean.
Doing? Sean, are you with me?
Of course I'm with you, Barry. What do you got coming up next? How are you doing? I heard you were coming in, listening, almost drove off the road. You
yes.
know, you thought Donald Trump was in studio. This is what I heard.
Yes. Well, I have to tell you, I've been on the air for a year and a half, and you are correct. It is a privilege to be on the airways, and I absolutely love it. I mean, obviously, you and I never met, and you probably don't have an inkling who I am. But at one time, I was known as the Diamond Authority of Philadelphia. I transitioned into the building business, and Yagaroff and Stocker, Greg Stocker, our boss, gave me an opportunity to be on the air. And I don't take it for granted. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of energy, but I love doing it. And guys like you are terrific. I just want you to know that.
Well, thank you, Barry. Appreciate it. And you know, likewise, right?
Thank
so
you.
So we're here on this amazing station, on its amazing airwaves.
Yep.
Doing what we do, right? Bringing people some joy, some laughter, some information, a little bit of everything, a little bit of suffering, right? Phil, yep. He's got bones to pick. He's got yep. grievances. It's Festivus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Barry, what do you got coming up? What do you got coming up on, on the Dawn Show?
Well, here's what I have. You're going to believe, if you believe, I have Lauren Hart coming on, who is a classic person of Philadelphia, who I don't know if you know who she is. She sings the national anthems. So much for the Flyers and other, I don't think so much with the Eagles or anybody else, but with the Flyers, that's number one, and does a lot of events. I have Lou Tilly, who spent much time on Channel 3 in Philly. I have a friend of mine, Yuki Washington, Jesse Kyle. I have Jack Cittarelli. So I have a full slate.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's going to be fun today. But I want to tell you one thing, and I mean this, Sean. I listened to what you mentioned about drones. So I'm going home the other night, and in my neighborhood, basically in Mount Laurel, and I look up and I say to myself, you've got to be kidding. What is that? It looked like the size of my SUV, and it stared at me. I stared at it, and 3 minutes later, it took off. These things are not a mirage. I don't exactly know what's going on. We haven't been given all the ins and the outs as to what's happening, but I have to tell you, it's scary, Sean. I saw it firsthand. I've heard about this for the last 3 weeks, and it didn't unnerve me. It unnerved me the other night, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's different when you see them, but I would love to get like a photo of one of these things. You know, I mean, we got to get some, because every video that has been coming through looks like it's been shot off of a Nokia flip phone. And I get it. You know, at nighttime, it's hard to photograph. But when you have the former governor of Maryland taking pictures of Orion's belt and then saying, look at the drones over my, it's like, well, a lot of the reports are going to lose credibility. Again, I never denied that there was something there. There's definitely something going on. And the powers that be are not telling us about them and are not being honest. And that is what's giving fuel to the theory, so to speak, about what they are and what they're after.
Listen, Sean, we had balloons, as you know. Now we have drones. I went and visited the border sometime in May. And I could tell you, with all the people that have entered this country that we don't know who they are and where they are, and all of the conspiracy theories, to me, you have to be concerned about security. I know it's a holiday, but I have to tell you, and I don't want to be a downer in any which way, because Christmas and Hanukkah, to me, are special. And it's crazy because both of those holidays are falling on the same day. Go ahead. You got to go? Sean's got to go. He's leaving me.
Well, I want to say thank you to everybody here, 1210 WPHT. Thank you to the listeners. We're back on Thursday morning, Boxing Day, for another 4 hours. So you got me again. God bless all of you. Have a Merry Christmas.
Sean, have a great holiday.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.